Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that what? Not of yourself, it's the gift of God." Grace came not because of your good looks, not because of your last name, not because of your bank account, not because of the color of your skin, but grace came by God. It was a gift by God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his what? Workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Titus chapter 3 says this, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." Thank God for the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made what? Heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Thank God for that. I'm glad for the word of the Lord. James chapter 2, verse 14 says it like this, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not these things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" Meaning, if they've got no clothes on and you send them on their way saying, "It's going to be okay," what does it profit them? They're still cold. "And one of you say to them, Depart in peace, but you be warm. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is what? Is dead." Faith without works is dead. There's got to be works when faith happens. It's what the Lord, that's what the Bible says. "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast had faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and what? Tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." You've got to understand that there's something about, because people say we don't earn salvation. That's right. Grace has come. It's a gift of God. We didn't get good to get God. We got God to get good. Meaning, when we get God in our lives, things have got to now start to change. It's like, again, the illustration of Jesus with the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, when the whole crowd was yelling what? Stoner, killer, crucifier, she's worthy to be put to death. Everybody was railing on her. And Jesus grabbed a rock and threw it back and said, "He that's without sin, let him cast the first stone." And everybody went away. Why? Because everybody had some stuff in their lives. And so now Jesus looks at the woman, already knows she's messed up, already knows she's in a bad place and has made some bad choices in life, right? But she looks at the woman and she says, "Woman, where are thine accusers? Is there none left to condemn thee?" And she looks around to a crowd that once was yelling, "Stoner, killer," now they're gone. And she looks and says, "There's none, Lord." And the Lord says, "Neither do I condemn thee. Now look, The Lord just gave her grace, right? Because grace came. Judgment was there, and she deserved to be put to death because of the law, but grace came. And grace said, I'm going to give you mercy. Go your way now and sin no more. So grace got her mercy, but she had to go on her way and start having works accompanied with faith. So when God saved you, he didn't save you for you to keep sinning. He didn't save you for you to keep defiling your temple. We talked last Wednesday night that this body that we're in, this is the temple of God. It's not yours. It's on loan. And God says, you've got to respect, you've got to honor my temple. I've given you that. I know you made mistakes. I know you should not be here, but because of grace and mercy, I have given you a way out. Because you didn't get good to get this. But now I'm giving you something. I'm going to give you a gift. Now you have to go out and start working it. You've got to start changing some stuff. God loves the sinner, but he always hates sin. Have you ever noticed that to every church, when God spoke in Revelations 2 and 3, God said this, I know thy works. They all had faith, but God pronounced judgment on each church based on what? Based on their works. What does God say about your works? We know what God said about all the other churches, but if God were to open up your life right now, just like the Word of God, God opens up your life. What does he say about your works? Very easy to talk about our neighbor's works and what everybody else is not doing. But God said, I'm not interested in your neighbor. I'm not interested in that person next to you. I'm interested in you. I'm interested in your works. That's why the Bible said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Can I tell you, holiness is not a means of earning salvation, but it is a result of earning it. Because we are his, 1 Chronicles 16:29 says this, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Somebody shout holiness. If you'll stop right there and you'll look up that word worship, it means to bow down. It means to do obeisance, to stoop, to prostrate oneself, to submit. That's what that worship is talking about. We know Lord is Jehovah. It's the proper name of God. And beauty is the Greek word hadara, which means holy adornment, glory, comeliness, or ornament, external adornment. Holiness is in the Greek word kadesh, which is apartness or separateness or consecrated or separation. And so the Amplified Bible says it like this, worship in the Lord in the beauty of holiness and in holy array. In the Emphasized Bible, it says bow down to Yahweh in the adornment of holiness. And the New American Bible says worship the Lord in holy attire. When you put all these words together, the literal meaning of 1 Chronicles chapter 1 verse 29 says this, submit to Jehovah in the external adornment of separation. Much could be said at this point about internal holiness, because it is grievous error to preach external standards without preaching internal standards, because it must resonate inside. It's got to start inside. Isn't there an old song that says, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside? That's what we've got to do. Stop working on the outside, but work on the inside. And it's very grievous error to God when we work on the outside and we don't focus on the inside. I'm going to tell you our purpose in this series, in this practical holiness, because we are His. We were to focus on, when you get God, it changes everything, or it should change everything. See, some people are content with just saying, hey, I go to a Abundant Life Center. Hey, I go on Sunday nights when the music's hitting and the bass is thumping, and you know, and I love to worship, but you know, I just like Sunday night. Well, you don't have a relationship. You're just a hitchhiker. But if you really get God on the inside, guess what's going to happen? There's a lot of people, like even we did a scene the other night at practice where Jesus is surrounded by a multitude of people because He just did healings and the miracles, right? And then somebody in the crowd touched the hem of His garment. He turns around and He says, "Who touched me?" And Peter, being so brilliant, said, "Jesus, who's not touching you?" But can I tell you, Jesus' definition and your definition of who touches Him may be completely opposite. We may sing our songs, we may clap our hands, but if all we're doing is for show, and all we're doing is for motion, we have missed it all. We can run the aisle, we can shout, we can speak in tongues, but if it's not on the inside, we're just sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. But if you really get God on the inside, it will change everything about you. It'll change the way you walk. It'll change the way you talk. It'll change the way you act. It'll change the way you dress. It'll change everything about you. When you get God on the inside, it changes everything. Can I just tell you that the Lord never looked at the Pharisees and the Sadducees and never got mad at them for the outside? Never got mad at them because they prayed. Never got mad at them because they were giving. Never got mad at them for going to church. He got mad at them for how they went and what they did. He got mad because they only gave when people were looking. He got mad because they only prayed big prayers when people were listening. He got mad at them because they did it for show. I'm going to tell you, woe be unto us if all we do is try to appease one another and not try to please Him. Woe be unto us if we come and we sing our songs and we clap our hands, but we leave this place the same way we came. I'm praying for a revival on the inside of every one of your hearts and every one of your spirits that'll transform everything about you on the inside. And it's not just because pastor says it, not because the church says it, but because you've established a relationship with God and you've come in saying, "God, I just come to worship You. I just come to please You. I don't care about anybody else." When you make up your mind for yourself, it gets on the inside. And guess what? It starts to change. It really does. You can't change the outside by focusing on the outside, because the inside won't match. You get the inside right, everything else will change. I think I talked about last Wednesday. I want everybody on these pews Now, when we step on this platform, it's a different level. Because on this platform is holy ground. If you want to step on this platform and you won't come in the holies of holies, you've got to make sure that you got everything right on the inside. Because I'm telling you, woe be unto you if you step up on this platform and you say, now I got the spotlight. Now it's all about me. Pastor may not know it. Family and friends may not know it. But I guarantee you there's a God that knows it. He knows you're up there. I'm telling you, we've got to make up our mind. I don't care who sees what I do. I don't care if anybody knows what I do. I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for Him. Thank God for some of you that come to church and you pick up trash and you clean up the messes, not to get a pat on your back, but because you're doing it for God. If you'll do it in secret, what does God say? I'm going to reward you openly. But if you do it to be shown of men, verily I say unto you, you've got your reward already. I want to make sure, Brother Rudy, that I want him to be pleased in me. I pray a simple prayer almost every day, and it's, Lord, search the cracks and crevices of my heart. God, you know my thoughts. You know my intents. You know some stuff that I don't even know about. And I'm praying that you would search me and you'd let your blood run through my veins, because I want to be pleasing in your sight. I don't know what this means to you, but I'm telling you, it means a whole lot, because I want to do my best to let God know I'm living for Him. Got to get it on the inside. Jesus on the inside. Work it on the outside. We've got so many people that have been tripped up by the do's and don'ts of religion. You know what I'm saying? It's not your job to try to correct somebody. We all grow at different stages. My girl grows at a different stage than my boy does. And it may be the opposite in your lives, where your boy grew in a different way than your girl did, or you had all girls, but they weren't all the same. And can I tell you, when you came to God, you weren't all the same. And some of your family members and some of your friends, they didn't progress the way you progressed. We can't look down on our nose and say, you haven't got it yet, you don't deserve to be on the front row. You need to go back on the third row. You need to make sure that, you know what, God, we're growing in this thing. It's about a relationship. My girl called me the other day, and she was so troubled. And I thank God for it, because in reality, it was a good signal, because it makes us want to keep praying and keep doing better. But her thought was, Dad, I don't think that I'm as spiritual as everybody else. It just seems like I'm in this environment and my relationship is not as strong as everybody else. And thank God for those moments, because those are moments that will make you want to keep praying. Woe be unto us if we sit back and say, I've arrived. I'm spiritual. I ain't got to come to church. I can listen to it on podcast. Be careful. But I told her, I said, do you call me every day? And she said, no. I said, well, pretty much almost, but not every day. I said, but there are days that you miss, right? And she said, yeah. I said, does our relationship go down when we miss? I said, no. I said, you're my girl. I'm your daddy. I'll always be a daddy. And when you mess up, guess what? I'm still your daddy. And when you mess up, you're still my daughter. And I love you. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, what you've been involved in. Daddy will always love you. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more does your heavenly Father? I'm telling you, God loves you more than you could even imagine. Now, I'm not telling you now to just take a break on talk with Him and not praying with Him, but a relationship.
If you truly have a relationship with God, it doesn't matter who's singing, doesn't matter who's preaching. You could walk into a funeral service and still feel the presence of God, because it's a relationship with God. You could be driving down the road and God come in to your car, and you could have a God moment. Why? Because you have a relationship with God. And when you get a relationship with God, guess what you want to do? You want to do your best to make him happy. I know when we were dating, and we're 22 years in. That's pretty cool. Hallelujah. I'm not the same cat that I was 22 years ago. Matter of fact, some of y'all prayed for me Sunday morning. Thank God for that. First time ever happened that I was, we were in Disneyland. My goodness, we weren't at Magic Mountain. Disneyland. And I went on the Guardian of the Galaxy thing that went up and down and went on a roller coaster. And I know I felt a little queasy in my tummy, but that was okay. I went to the hotel and went to sleep. And Sister Lisa at 3:30 in the morning. It's like I was on the Twister or something. It's like, whoa, I just woke me up. Spinning. I don't know what it was. Mom said, that's vertigo. I said, I don't know. I'm just getting old. I ain't getting on roller coasters no more. I don't, Disney World or whatever. The kiddie ride, whatever. But I'm not the same cat as I was 22 years ago. But I remember when we were dating, I wanted to do everything I could to make you happy. And you want to do everything you could to make me happy. And guess what? I still want to make her happy. You know what I did this morning? I turned on our coffee maker this morning. I made her a cup of coffee. I put some cream in it. I went to the kitchen. I fried up some bacon. Na, 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 na. Put it in a pan. I put some biscuits in the oven. Put an egg, cheese, and bacon. And guess what? I delivered it her plate first before I even ate. I said that to say this. We're in a relationship. And I want to please her. And I want to make her happy. And guess what? The same is with God. Because we are his, I want to make him happy. Nobody has to know my name. Nobody has to remember anything about me. I just want to make him happy. I just want him to know, God, I love you today. God, I thank you for all your provisions and all your blessings. And I know I've gone through junk and I'm going through trials and I'm going through problems and all this stuff. But God, I just want you to know how thankful I am. I've got a relationship with you. And because of that, I want to please you. I want to make sure I clean up this temple. I want to make sure that I talk right and I act right, not just here, okay? Again, holiness is not this, because you could have all this down pack and your spirit could be ugly and you could fillet people. Oh, but I go to church and I, no, your spirit betrays you. You're like whited sepulchres, all clean on the outside, but within full of dead men's bones and all corruptions. How shall you escape damnation? So the Lord says, be careful even when we go out in public and we're at the restaurant and they burn your bacon. Eat it crunchy. Give them a tip. You don't know what they've gone through. How dare us call us, now I'm not telling people just walk on you, but how dare us we call ourselves Christians? And we go out there and they know we just came from church and we're complaining about everything and yada, yada, yada. And out of our mouth, we're killing everybody. And we're talking about everybody and everybody's hearing. And they're like, what? Who are you? I remember I was at a softball tournament. It was Bishop's softball tournament he put together. I told this years ago, but I could say it again because I'm getting older. But we're at a church softball tournament, Brother Viscara. And every team's supposed to be church teams. And this umpire called me over and said, hey, Mick, I have a question. What church do they go to? And I was like, you know, I don't know. I just come to play ball. He says, well, I know they're drinking, they're cussing, they're smoking. And he said, they're the church of Satan. This world knows true, genuine, blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled individuals because they got it for themselves. They made up their mind a long time ago. I don't care who comes and who goes. I'm going to put my feet on a solid rock and I'm going to live for God. I'm going to try to please Him. If you get Him on the inside, He cleans up the outside. So questions concerning practical holiness. There's no way I can get everything into this. But salvation's a free gift. But sanctification is a costly experience. But there's some questions concerning practical holiness. Where does, number one, where does holiness teaching originate? Think about that. Where does holiness teaching originate? There are three sources. The first source, the supreme source of holiness teaching is the Bible. It's the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall endure forever. Therefore, a holiness standard must either be specific biblical statement or a valid application of a biblical principle. So our first source of holiness is the Word of God. The second source of holiness is this: God has also given us spiritual leadership in the church to help us apply biblical principles to the situations we encounter in our lives. Ephesians 4:11 through 16. For the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body, God's given us. He's given us His word, He's given us leadership, and He's given us the third thing, the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost will do what? It'll lead and guide us into some truth. Thank you, Jesus. Into all truth. That's what the Holy Ghost is there for. When God filled you with the Holy Ghost and you repented of your sins and you're baptized in Jesus' name and you were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost as the Spirit gave the utterance, God now gave you power to begin to walk after truth. He's given you power to navigate life with. That's why there are times in your lives that when you've got the word and you've got your leadership in place and you've got the Holy Ghost to lead and guide you, that's why there are times you'll find yourself in a compromising situation. And in your brain, you're like, I don't think I should be here. Let me do this. Pastor, I'm at this place, and I really don't feel like I should be here. What do you think? Or you're around somebody and you're having a great conversation, but all of a sudden this great conversation has now just derailed, and now we're talking about a brother and a sister, not in a positive light, but in a negative light, and you're like, Pastor, me and Eddie are talking about so-and-so. What do you think? God gives you, impresses by the Holy Ghost, speaks to you through that subconscious. Your spirit begins to. That's what the Lord is doing. He's trying to give you what we call checks in the spirit, where it just doesn't feel right. Well, if it doesn't feel right, don't do it. Amen. For he that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You don't need to call me on the phone at 2:30 in the morning and say, hey, I'm at this disco club. I don't think I should be here. Duh! You should be home sleeping. But God has spoken to you. But listen, here's where you mess up. Is all of a sudden, Brother Rudy, when I start working, thank God I haven't done it yet. And let me make sure the time I'm okay. I'll hurry up. But there are times I'm working. Matter of fact, my dad wanted me to get experience, Brother Martin, to remove a stump. Right? He said, every man needs to know how to take out a stump. And I was like, really? So I went after it. And all of a sudden, within 3 minutes, boom, 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 blisters all over my hands. And I was like, Dad, I got blisters. He said, so? The stump's still there. So Brother Joe, I got the axe and I started hitting, and all of a sudden a blister popped. And it hurt. Hallelujah. I was singing, oh, fly away, oh, glory. Hallelujah. It hurt. That's what happens when the Lord talks to you. It hurts your spirit. That's why things when, again, this is the temple of God, right? And we're trying to work on the inside. That's why it's very imperative what you listen to and what you watch. This is the gatekeeper of the soul. And I don't know about you, but if you don't allow profanity in your home, why do you watch it? Why do you get it in here? Haven't you ever felt, because blisters, right? But the problem is if you work enough, those blisters turn into calluses. That now what you thought was, I shouldn't. Now it doesn't even affect you. And the conversations that you have, not a big deal now. And the places you're going now is not a big deal, because you are now callous to the Spirit. That's why God said, you need to get to that place and stir up that gift that's inside you. You need to start breaking down some stuff. Breaking out carnality. The only way that God can speak to you, you got to have an openness of heart. You can't say, well, my grandma said this and my granddaddy said that and they do this and they go there. I'm not talking about them. That's right. Talking about the Word of God. We're talking about the spiritual leadership. We're talking about the Holy Ghost in you. You've got to listen to it. Because if you can listen to it, and you could be open to it. And you could say, Lord, I just want to please you. Could you show me? Could you talk to me? Could you show me areas where I can work on? Brother Viscari, we just had that conversation. When we start taking steps, I'm telling you, people know. People know if you're really sold out to this. People know if you truly believe this, because when you get it inside you, there's an aura about you. Because what's on the inside will not stay dormant, but what's on the inside, it'll begin to just reaction all over your body and radiance all over you, to the point that wherever you go and whatever you say, people are like, wow, there's something different about you. The moments you tear down those fences and you say they're not important are the moments you rip those blisters and they're just calluses. Brother Alex, you can come. Because we are His. I believe the Bible says, though we are an angel, preach any other gospel, let him be You know what's sad? Is we get all over angels. People say, oh yeah, I saw an angel. Oh, really? And we're so mesmerized on the angels. But we're not mesmerized on him. I prayed a prayer a few weeks ago. I've prayed it a lot. I just said, God, you know, I love angels. I love to be in the presence of angels. I love miracles and signs and wonders. And I love all that stuff. I said, but God, if I've never seen an angel again, if I've never seen an angel, I've never seen an angel before, my wife. But if I've never seen an angel, or I've never seen the miraculous, I just want to see you, God. I just want to hear you. I just want to please you. What we've got to get to, Sister McIntosh, is if we can get it in here, we have a relationship. And when we have a relationship, it's no more like treating God like he's our servant. Because the only time you're talking to God is you're asking God to help you out. When was the last time you spent time in prayer with him and you never asked him for anything? And you just, Lord, I love you. Lord, I adore you. Lord, there's something about your presence. I know everybody else deserves it, but God, I don't. I really don't. And I want to spend time with you. And God, I'm going to stop talking. I'm just going to meditate on you. So if you'd like to talk to me, God, I'd like to listen. And you just shut off everything. I'm telling you, that gets God's attention. Because you're not forcing him for anything. But you're just getting a covenant agreement with him. It's a relationship with him. You're saying, God, I want to please you. Because I am yours, I want the world to see. I think the Bible says something like, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your number one job in this life is to be a reflection of him. Not a reflection of you, but a reflection of him. God, I want to be more like you. If that's how you feel, why don't you slip your hand up towards heaven? And why don't, from the depths of your soul, why don't you just connect with him? Why don't you just say, God, I love you today. God, I'm praying tonight, God, that you created me a clean heart. And you'd renew in me a right spirit. I'm not in competition with anybody else. But God, I just want to have a relationship with you. I want to sit at your feet. I want to bask in your presence. I want to get to know you in a deeper way. Because I want to hear your voice. I want to see you move. I don't deserve it, God. But I want you to know, I'm seeking to please you. I'm seeking to make you happy. And I pray, God, that you lead and guide me into all truth. Oh, come on, lift up your voice right now. Oh, God. God, I love you today. I feel him in this house tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you step out of your pew? We've got a few minutes. Why don't we gather down the front? And why don't we pray a simple prayer? God, let me not get messed up on the do's and don'ts of religion. But God, let me just draw close to you. Let me just seek to please you. Work it out on the inside of me, God. I want to be more like you. Help my spirit to be more like yours. Help my attitude. Help my thoughts. Help me, God, to let this temple, help me, God, to let this temple please you. Hallelujah. Help us, God. I want to live for you. I want to live for you, God. I want to have a relationship with you, God. I love you, God. Hallelujah. More of you, less of me, God. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Help me, God. Help me be a reflection of you. My family needs this. And my friends need this. Help me, God, get it for myself. Open up my understanding. Give me wisdom beyond my own understanding. Let me seek to please you. Sharakaya torasa. Tayara koras. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I love you. I love you. I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you'll get it, if you'll get it for you, God will help you with all the rest. Because if you live for God hard, it becomes very easy. But when you try to live for God easy and you just try to do just enough to get by, it's hard living for God. But make up your mind. God, seeking to please you. God, I don't want to call pastor at 2:30 in the morning. You just talk to me, God. If I shouldn't be listening to that and going there and doing that, God, just tell me. I don't have to wake pastor up. Hallelujah. God, I pray for your children. Pray your touch on them, God. Pray your favor on them, God. I pray you'd help them. I pray, God, you'd go with them. Go with them in their homes and go with them in the jobs. God, when they're the highways and the byways, I pray, God, that you'd be with them. Let them, God, seek to please you and show them in areas that they can. We ask this, God, the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen to that. Amen, amen. Find two or three people, love on somebody. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.